My name's Rick Sutley. I'm an Elkie. And I never know what I'm going to say for sure when I'm up here, so I'll try and keep it clean. I said try. I've been thinking about all these steps I'm talking about that we work, and it's really a lot different when we're new. We don't fully comprehend how they all mesh, why do I got to do all this just to stop drinking? And that's why it's good to have old timers around to nudge you in the right direction. And being desperate is a really good place to start. If you don't want to do what you always did, they set out a program of recovery that's pretty effective from what I can see. And even though you may not agree or think you need to do it, they assure me that this is what I need to do. And we've covered a lot of steps. Now we're up to the 9th. And the 9th is when we're going to actually walk up to a person and make direct amends wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And I always heard somewhere it says, including us. We don't want to injure ourselves. But that's your choice. When I was starting to work this step, my sponsor suggested strongly, like he did when I was doing the 4th step, to stay close. Don't get hung up in your head about what's going on here. And so that's still great advice for anybody working the steps. Stay close to God and sponsor. Just before I left the house, I talking with my wife, and she's been shocked as much as anybody that I stayed sober as long as I have. The patience and understanding of spouses and family who put up with what we do is pretty hard to comprehend. Making direct amends, that's about as simple as you can make it. Doesn't mean go around or over, under, goes to somebody or something, some business. And we made that list, made another list, you know. And a lot of people may know all about what a jerk I've been all those years. And I don't need to explain to them that I was. People that I worked with were very aware of my sense of smell in the morning from a late night of drinking. You know, it was pretty obvious to everybody I was still drunk. Whatever you are, what's your career, what's your job, they said, if I was a pipe fitter, said, if you stay sober, you'll be a better pipe fitter. So if you're a baker, you'll be a better baker. I don't know if that applies for all of them, but I would suspect it would. And those are some of the motivating things that lead us to do steps like this. So why do I gotta walk up to them and tell them all this stuff? Oh, you don't have to, but if you want to stay sober and have peace of mind, this is what we do. And they said it's not it's not advisable to work these steps in some weird order. Work them in order. And I believe I started to make direct amends the day I got out of rehab. Serenity, it's not too far from here. Spent a pleasant 28 days out there. So much for rigorous honesty. But as I was leaving there, I had learned a lot. I didn't know how it applied, but they gave me advice as they were booting me out. Said, the best thing you can do is go to AA. That was sound advice. Very sound. My wife and daughter, who lived through my drinking career, got to see the worst of me. And I hope today they can somewhat say they see the best of me. Because we aren't a pretty sight when we're in our cups. Looking through the bottom of that glass, the world looks pretty different. Our attitude, our outlook on things is tarnished by the amount of alcohol we shovel in. But our family's a good place to start with the most personal amends. You know, hey, I'm really gonna try to stay sober. I don't know how, but I'm gonna go to AA and find out. And surprisingly enough, it worked. And I found out you don't have to be smart. A little stubbornness helps. But courage. Courage to actually talk to someone and say, you know, you might not have known this, but I did this to you. And I just wanted to say, as part of my recovery from alcohol, I want to let you know I'm extremely sorry I did that. A lot of the things were a little more blatant, that were easy to spot. Those people I needed to make amends to also. And some people were dead that I clearly would have wanted to make amends to. My father. My father died in 1987. He was congestive heart failure, and I would interrupt my drinking to go visit him at the hospital just for a short bit because I was in my last 6 months of drinking. There was an important thing in my life, and it wasn't visiting my dad. The last time I saw him alive, he asked me a question that was really a tough one. Here I am, son of the year. He says, how come you never say you love me? And instead of saying, oh, I do love you, I asked him, why don't you ever tell me you love me? And he was dead a short time later, and I never got a chance to clean that up. Grave sites are pretty good for quiet thought and trying to think of what you would have said if they were still there. There was plenty others. My daughter, she got to see and watch things that no little kid should see. And my wife, she took the brunt of it. I'm still making up. it tells us that we should make sure we're on the AA beam before we start going out and saying, hey, you know, I just wanted to talk to you about all the shit I done. So much for keeping it clean, huh? But nonetheless, that's where that sponsor comes in awfully handy. You don't want to go up to somebody you've just recently pissed off and say, hey, by the way, sorry about that, I was drunk then. And then there are some other ones that I never thought of, like, not that I did things to people, but I thought things about people. Didn't tell them, but in my mind, that was stuff that I would have never thought of if I wouldn't have come to AA, about our thoughts can hurt other people. But there is, God will get us through. And we should be cautious. There are some things we could do that would put us back in jail. I don't know if they can retroactively get you for 3,500 DUIs, but it would be sort of stupid for me to go down and say, here I am, you missed me a bunch of times. But as God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. You know, we might feel a little intimidated by a particular person and not really want to walk up there, but they tell you, you don't have to crawl before anyone. I like how in the 12 and 12 it says, you should be sure you're on the AA beam at least for a couple of weeks. That isn't the advice I got. Couple of weeks. It does say and or more. But I don't know when I got the AA beam thing going. But it got going, that's for sure. And this was the path to work these steps. Somehow, the effect of carrying around knowing what I've done to other people, what I've done to society, what I've done to my employer, that weighs on us. And by getting it out, they say you're only as sick as your secrets. Well, that was true in the fourth and the fifth. And it comes up here, too. Courage seems to be in all the steps. You need to swallow hard and do something you don't necessarily want to do. And I had caused a lot of trouble at work. I went out of my way to cause trouble at work. And I got disciplined over the years. But after I was sober, probably 2 years, I went up to the plant manager and stuck my hand out one day and said, you know, I don't know if you can see any change in me yet, but I'm trying to do things differently. And I said, I just wanted to shake your hand and let you know I'm sorry for what I have done. And he smiled and said, thank you. And things were okay, as far as I know. And then other people who I really hated, who lied about me. Who did I lie about? Jeez, the list is long. But to walk up to them with God at your back, saying that whether you forgive me or not, I'm here to tell you that I sincerely want to make this amend for the way I've talked to you, for the way I've treated you, for the names I called you, for a lot of stuff. And I survived them. Most people were very gracious. Said, oh, that's not necessary. Said, it's necessary for me. God is the strongest when we need Him the most. I sure needed God to do these steps. I go into early AA meetings. It was hard. Everybody was saying, oh, God did this for me and God did that for me. And I'm still not sure if I'm going to make this. And eventually, you wore me down. I was still sober. Something had changed. And I started to believe that that was a true statement. God would not only take away my obsession to drink, He would also help me with character defects. There was a few. 100. But it's action. We go to it. And we just try to do our best. We're cleaning our side of the sidewalk, as they say. Not that person. No matter what he's done to you, we leave that alone. They must have known who they were talking to when they wrote these books. Because I hated a few people. Pretty strong word, huh? At the Elkanon Club, where I basically got sober, there was regulars there. You could go there and there would be people in the same seats every meeting you went to. And one of them became my sponsor, Merle Grotto. And a guy that hung around with him was Orm Hazelton. And Orm always used to say, have a childlike faith that God will take care of you. We should be children in our faith, trusting our Heavenly Father, that a kid trusts his earthly parents. Take that leap. You know, when you have a little child and they're on the steps and you're at the bottom of the steps, they may leap out. They know you'll catch them. They trust. Childlike. Children ask open questions. They might ask you anything because they just, that's childlike. And they aren't. They trust us as parents. And that's what we need to learn to do with who I call God today. Trust Him. He's brought me this far. I'm sober. I'm working these steps. I guess I'm doing some of the right things. I know I'm not doing it all, but here I am. I'm working. And Orm Hazelton, again, he always said, when you're going to do something or say something, ask yourself this question. For whose honor and whose glory are you about to say or do something? Made you think, made me think. We ask God for patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. So that as we approach these people, we don't come off as, oh, I got to get this done with. Let me tell you what I got to say and I'll be on my way. That's not how I believe they want us to do it. And the other thing is just like a doctor, their kind of motto, do no harm. Do no harm. And that's what we should be looking at when we're approaching someone. And do not rest on our laurels. I use all these things. I had to use a dictionary for a lot of these words. And I had an idea what laurels was, resting on them. Is that whatever I've done, it's done. And my action is over. Glad I got that done with. Well, 31 years down the road, can't rest on my laurels. And that's a big part of why I accepted to do this, because this is kind of what I do. Go to meetings, try to sponsor people, share my experience, strength, and hope. And it's very humbling to, I don't know the right word, to experience this the way we do. Because as we've gone along, we begin to realize that there's a lot more to sobriety in AA than just not drinking. And I don't know how they figured it out. I think God might have been pushing their hand as they were writing, because they came up with some literature. They were very wise men. The ninth step is where we finally get to read about the promises. Finally, some good news. I've been working all these steps and it just seems like it's always more, more, more. And here they are laying it out. These are the kind of things before you're halfway through with the ninth step, you'll start to, and you may have started to feel them earlier in your program. And they're very rewarding. Very, very. The list is so amazing, but the bottom line is the alcoholic is like a tornado roaring through our lives and others. And it's just like the farmer that came up out of the, and one time I said, wine cellar, cyclone cellar. And he said, well, honey, I think everything's going to be okay. Ain't it grand? The wind stopped blowing. And it took me like a year to get that. You know, a year. I was a little slow. But I finally was able to go to enough meetings and hear the right things that, and I think that's how we learn. We learn in little plateaus. We don't get it all at once. But what they spell out in these promises eventually gets down to the part where it says, we suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. I never tried to quit drinking. I never saw a reason to. And until the night of my accident, not my first DUI, when the cops came and they took me to the hospital, they were telling me all kinds of things like, you're in a lot of trouble, son. And on and on. I didn't know where I was going. And I was active in the union, and I knew that we had an EAP program, Employee Assistance. And the guy that was the union guy I called him up that morning, and he says, this is what you do. You go check in the St. Vincent's Hospital, and the introduction to AA is pretty rough. You're still drunk, you're in trouble, can't get your mind off that, and you're faced with people coming into the meeting from the outside. Holy crow, how did they know I was here? And they said they were alcoholics too, and I was stunned because I had never seen any of them drunk. And it did make me feel a little better, but just a little. And that was a tough process. Far, far away was the ninth step. Far, far away. I know a lot more about the ninth step today than I did when I first did it. A lot of the things I've talked about, I wasn't honest enough to do a thorough ninth step. I couldn't see clearly what the wreckage of my past was. I didn't know how I hurt people. But when I asked, I sometimes found out. And it was in ways I would have never guessed. Our words are pretty tough. And we hurt people. And how do we celebrate staying sober? We have birthday nights, anniversaries, if you will. And those are great ways to show that other people are staying sober a long, long time. And some people are just starting out. And they always say the newest guy in the room is the most important. Newest woman, too. I'm so politically correct. But it is, without a doubt, some of the hardest things I've ever done in my life is these steps, which they say all the time, rarely have we seen a person fail. And I don't know if I followed them perfectly, but I struggled up the steps. Our subconscious, they say, plus what you remember clearly, it weighs on you. I didn't know nothing about the subconscious. Things I put way back there, thought I neatly forgot about. Until we seek those dark corners out, we may not get the full bang. And after all this work, I'm going to do this. Because I didn't want to waste all my time with all those other steps and not go through with this one. Those things weigh on our ability to be of maximum usefulness to others and to God. Those are the kind of statements that we're saying them, but I'm not really sure if I'm believing them. And the day came when I had to give credit where credit was due. There was no way that was Rick walking in the door from day one, staying sober. I had no desire to drink. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, that baby was yanked. My privilege of drinking was withdrawn. And these are the type of things that I need to do to stay sober and to help a lot of folks who are looking for a little, and that's all I can give, is a little advice about these steps. But they really tee it up there with the promises to let you know there's a lot more to be had than just not drinking. We're probably starting to feel a lot better by step 9. Think of ourselves a little differently. Trying to treat people a bit nicer. Or a lot nicer. But like it says somewhere, these steps are clearly written. They don't need a lot of explanation. Or maybe back then they didn't need a lot of explanation. But I needed real coaching. And that sponsor I had was just a rock. And not just him, it was all people that had some time. Resting on our laurels. If we are satisfied and don't try to further our principles that we've learned in AA, we're going to have problems. It doesn't say that succinctly in here, but my sponsor said that. So that's good enough for me. And I'd really like to thank you again for showing up. Makes it a lot easier to talk about this when there's someone here. And thanks you guys for asking me.
All right, this working?
Light on? No? Yep, now. All right, this is the question and answer portion of the meeting, so anybody has any questions for Rick regarding step 9 or the previous 8?
Hi, Rick. My question is, did you have any really negative reception from these interactions from the people? Did you have some negative?
Some. But they were light. They were, get out of my... Don't ever come back. You know, they were just, yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Mike, alcoholic.
So, like, making amends, right? So, like, direct amends to me right now would be, like, a lot of people more harmful than good. So I'm trying to do it by, like, actions towards other people I haven't affected to show them like my change of life working this program for the last year plus, and I just don't even know like 90% of the people I've even harmed. But you're saying that subconscious, like I know in the back of my mind how many people I harmed and who I harmed, but it's just physically hard for me to reach out to them. But mentally and spiritually, like, I'll tell anybody, like, I talk to my sponsor, like, hey, this program's helped save my life, but you said a couple words today, action and honesty, and those are words I'm trying to carry on to kind of make up for that. Can't really reach out there with that hand or letter to those direct amends of previous ripping and running and party days, because, like you said, people will probably just be like, what? Who are you? What happened? But, you know, like, we see it in a different light today, so it's just... That struck a chord.
Like so many steps, we continue to learn as we go along, even from the newest people in the room. They may say just the thing we need to hear today to help us.
I'm Jeff, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jeff.
Now, did I understand you, like, when you were talking about making amends to people that we've harmed? But, like, even people that, like, we had bad feelings about, did I misunderstand you? Like, you know, if I thought you were a prick, and, you know, had all these bad thoughts about you, but I never did anything to you. You know, I mean, did you still mean, like, make amends, like, or make amends to yourself or God, but if you didn't physically do something to somebody?
Okay, first pass at step 9, nobody got that amend from me. Nobody. It was too deep for me to even comprehend that in the beginning. But yeah, when we find out what other kinds of harm we can do, even if it's thinking ill of somebody, it may not be hurting them. They're completely unaware. But it's bothering you. And that helps. We clean our side. Even though the guy might have been a prick. I think that's in the book somewhere. But yeah, people that it's not about their actions or their harm or their character defects. It's about making our side of the street cleaner. It took a while to get there.
So, Rick, what do you do with the people who remember things years later? In my case, I didn't remember all those people that I was make amends to. And about 2.5 years later, I had some more people on the list. Do you come up? Do you have sponsees that come to you and say, "Let's do this again"? What do you do? How do you handle that?
For yourself, because you think of somebody else. Well, we've already learned how to do it in the beginning. We should be a little bit better the more we're in AA. And a sponsor. You know, if you've lost the skill to make amends, ask him what you need to do. I don't know if that clearly answers your question. I'm still remembering stuff. And one time I was given a lead, and one of the guys right in the front of the meeting, he goes, "I was one of those people that you..." Oh my God, you know? Couldn't even get away with it at an AA meeting. But we're clueless about who we harm.
I am Aisha, again.
Hi, Aisha.
So I understand the part with the pricks and making amends to them, clearly. But what about if somebody close to you and, you know, triggered you to drink or drove you to drink more? Do you still want to make amends to them, although they are part of your drinking problem?
If it's someone close to you, you can reach your hand out and let them know what you're trying to do. However they nudged you to maybe drink more, or their actions or their words might have sent you out the door to a bar more often, it's not really about them. It's about what harm did you do to them. A lot of times we hurt people just by being what we are. Obnoxious, verbally abusive, drunks. And, you know, those are hard things. And it's not about their faults. It's about what role did you play in that. Thanks for the question.
Hey, Rick. Bruce, alcoholic.
Hey, Bruce.
Thanks for sharing tonight. I always like to ask, if you don't bring it up in your mention about amends, is amends that you shouldn't make, and if it's going to do harm to others, and living amends, what do you have to say to the people about, you know, like if you robbed a bank, you're not going to go in there and say, I robbed this bank 5 years ago, I'm sorry. And people have done, you know, without talking to their sponsor and did stupid things like that.
Yeah.
But, and that's where the harms to others, you know, just to make yourself feel good. But what's your take on it, and how do you...
Well, let's just say I broke a lot of rules when I was drinking. I broke the law. And I didn't go turn myself in. I had gotten enough trouble. They caught me enough that I wasn't going to go admit everything I did. Because how would that affect me and my family? You know, go get thrown in jail for 5 years. You ain't supporting them. You aren't there for them again. And there are some you definitely should avoid. And the living amends, I think we still do that today. By trying to use these principles in our lives where we treat people like people. That's the best I can do, Bruce.
No, I'm sorry. I just won't remember it enough. Thanks.
Thanks, Rick. I just want you to go over the part where you should, before you make any amends, make sure that you go through your sponsor before you go through that glorious task, because there are some ramifications to glory.
Yes. My first go-round, I really needed help so I didn't get in the ditches. Sometimes prudence calls for a little bit of delay. And I know that's not what they want you to do. We. And that's a tough part of doing the things we need to do. And even today, my brain, all of a sudden, I remembered about a week ago that I got arrested for disorderly conduct. 1984, how did I miss that? And the guy that I was hollering at, he was dead. He is dead. And so there's another trip to a cemetery somewhere that I need to make, because things pop up even in meetings when someone else is talking about a particular story. I say, oh shit, oh my god, I did that too. Thanks, Kevin. All right.
All right.